Welcome to the Wine Vault. On this special bonus episode, Rob and Scott review a wine from Chile, an Aros de Pirque Reserva de Propiedad. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's very special Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's so much more fun when you say, it is I, Rob the Blind Guy.
Yeah, it is. But I am known as also First Take Rob. Just one take. It's all, I never have to redo things. I'm just always perfect.
3, 4, 5.
I know. Scott is very excited tonight, though.
Well, I am.
Should be. You were more excited earlier if I, you know, we did this over again. Because tonight's wine is interesting. It's different.
We think it's interesting.
It's Chilean.
We hope it's interesting.
It is Chilean, though. And it's a Bordeaux-style blend from Chile.
Very nice.
And it's Aros de Pirque. Their Reserva de...
Aros de Pirque.
Did I say Pirque? Pirque, Pirque.
Aros de Pirque. With an H. H-A-R-A-S.
Yes.
P-E-P-I-R-Q-U-E. Aros de Pirque.
And their Reserva de Propiedad. More or less.
That's more or less.
This is a blend of Cabernet, Carmenier, and Cabernet Franc, and that's 65-25-10 on those, which is a traditional Bordeaux style.
Yeah. I don't know about the percentages, but those are components that you're going to find.
Those are all Bordeaux grapes.
Yep.
And this is a very, very interesting one for many reasons. One thing is, and this is the 16 vintage, when you go on wine.com, and this might be just a typographical error or a screw-up, they have little designations on the wine, okay? And one of the designations that is on this wine is the fact they believe it's a collector's wine.
Which, you know, what they're saying is it's ageable. It's something to keep and hold back.
It's $10.99. So, I don't know. We're going to find that out, though, tonight. We're going to find that out. So when we come back, we're going to break this wine down. And Scott's going to use an inappropriate Spanish accent here on the Wine Vault.
Hey!
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2016 Aros de Pirque Reserva de Propiedad. It's fun having these wines that we can't pronounce. We write it down, though.
Well,
it's phonetic.
Well,
we pronounce it phonetically. Well. Anyway. This wine does have a review. It got a 90 from the Wine Spectator.
Well.
And the Tater, they had an interesting review. They said, a fresh, intensely minerally red. That's all for you, Scott. Mm-hmm. With white pepper notes flanking the dried currant and berry flavors. Green olive accents on the finish. And obviously they talk about the blend. They said, drink now through 2023.
Doesn't sound really collectible.
No, it doesn't. I think that must be just an error.
2023. Yeah, well, and it... Because that collectible designation, they honestly don't use it very often.
They don't. This wine is aged in French oak barrels, which is exciting. What else do they say here? They give a little bit of their tasting notes on the actual wine's website. They go notes of tobacco and red fruit, such as cherries. After a moment, Maipo Andes aromas fill the glass with mint and herbal notes, giving a nice, fresh feeling. In the mouth, the wine is soft and balanced with a persistent and juicy finish. So,
you know, I'm surprised that your boy, James Suckling, hasn't reviewed this.
Oh, well. Because of a misunderstanding, I'm not allowed in Chile currently. Hopefully in the coming months, I will be able to drink their wine once again. If I did review this wine, which I haven't, but if I did, I would provide it 3,745,865 of my points, which is an aggregate score of 87.
Yes. The Prince of Pinot also hasn't.
No, I haven't. I haven't reviewed this wine. It's just Pinot. It's not Pinot. I don't want to drink it. It's not Pinot.
I know.
James did review.
I did.
Arras de Pirque's Carmenere.
How many points of mine did I get?
Only 90, James.
Only 90.
You were off.
No, I was not. That wine was not up to snuff. You would learn that if you paid $375 for my masterclass, where I am partially nude while I explain wine.
Jesus Christ.
I've got to get some people to watch this and pay for it. I have no money. So I'm doing cam work and whatnot and whatever it takes, Scott, whatever it takes.
Please put your clothes back on.
How about what about $175? Would that interest you, Scott? No? 70. What if you? How much money do you have on you currently? $5. That's yes. Fine. I'll do it for $5.
Would you put your pants back on, James?
Wow, that's unfortunate. I don't have pants. I had to sell them.
it's terrible. Why do you make fun of him like that?
I don't know. It's not fair.
It's not fair. Is it though? Is it?
In the glass.
It's red. No, it's
dense.
Deep crimson.
Yeah. Crimson is exactly the color I was looking
for. Nicely
at.
Extracted. It actually doesn't have a lot of translucence at all.
None.
It looks like a more expensive wine.
It's beautiful in the glass, actually.
Yeah. It actually, notice when you swirl it, it has a wonderful viscousness to it. Viscosity, I suppose, would be the term.
The legs in the glass.
Yeah.
Develop very slowly.
Mm-hmm. And prominently.
But this is a beautiful wine in the glass.
Yeah. If this is good tonight, folks, I will place an order on air with wine.com for more.
We've had a couple of those.
I know. Here we go.
You know, it's got it's somewhat muted nose.
Yeah, there's a little cassis.
A little emphasis on a little, but yeah. You know, a little
Briar patch blackberry kind of thing, but it's a dry blackberry. It's not a bouncy one, just the fleshiness of it.
There's a little subtle earthiness back there.
Minerality.
Definitely with some minerality, but maybe more like a marjoram or an oregano.
Oh, certainly. Earthiness. Certainly, yeah. Absolutely. It's more of an herb, mineral-driven nose than it would be fruit.
And you know what other fruits there? Just good old grape jam. Just like
something like that.
Almost like Smucker's.
That's that blackberry kind of thing.
Not
in
a negative way. It's kind of pleasant. But it's a really muted nose.
It is.
You kind of have to find the different things in there.
Mm-hmm. It's time to drink.
Let's go. You know, this is French.
It is. $10.
If you put a brown bag over this.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say chili.
No, probably not. It's not a lengthy wine. What's there, though, is very nicely elegant and well done. But it's not a big, lengthy wine. It's not overtly tannic. It has some residual minerality and a little bit of warm spice, probably from the Carmenere on the finish a little bit. But there isn't this big, gritty tannin structure there.
There's something odd about it. Structurally, there's something odd about it.
Mm. Mm. The dried red currant, I see that. With a little bit of an off-sweet grape cassis. that isn't sweet, mind you, but it's just the fleshiness and the flavor from it. There's a mineral streak and tobacco that peeps in right in the mid palate.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
It really, at the same time as the tobacco, that's what the oddball thing is. I'm going to describe it right now, folks. Usually, with an astringent wine,
we
talk about a mouthwashing effect where it kind of coats the roof of your mouth with this astringency. Quaff this again and see if you don't get just a touch of that, but I only get it on the front part of the roof of my mouth.
But it shouldn't.
But I get that.
There's no Merlot.
But I'm getting that.
I think you've got strep throat.
Well,
it's not to say that, I mean, it's Cabernet. Cabernet's dry. You have to really work it. And then there is a little bit of a core of astringency. Once you worked it, you have to work that son of a bitch.
But it's in an odd spot.
It's on the tip of your tongue.
Physically, yeah. Front of the roof of my mouth, the tip of your tongue. It's in an odd spot. You know, I'm a sucker for physical. For whether it's mouthfeel or astringency or whatever it is, where you've got a physical response to something. Mm. And what's interesting about this astringency, it hits you right at the same time as the tobacco.
It does.
And it's strong tobacco. That
it was that last sip.
That may be the backbone of this wine, that tobacco streak.
Oh, yeah. A little bit, yeah. But it has good weight to balance that out. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't call it fruity, but it has fruit weight.
It has fruit weight.
And that's all very nice. It has a nice mouthfeel.
So, and this is, you know, my original statement was that this is, you know, you'd think this is French, but the weight of this wine is not French. This is a little heavier mouthfeel than what you'd expect from a French wine. It's not quite viscous, but this is a denser.
It has the same mouthfeel as a Horse Heaven Hills.
This is a denser, heavier cab. It's not California density.
No.
But that, you know, recently we had a gathering where there were several bottles of wine.
I don't remember this. Was I there?
And one of the first ones was the Horse Heaven Hills.
The
red blend. And
and some guy is like, keeps coming up out of his basement with more bottles of wine. Not one at a time, mind you, two at a time.
And some guy was drinking a bottle of French wine with me and then decided he was going to drink the California Zin.
I don't even remember. It was all red and wet at that point.
Decided he was going to pour himself another glass, except he decided he was going to pour it outside the glass, and he totally missed his glass.
Did I do that? Wow. I don't remember that at all. But there was some time travel involved.
Let's just say that the marble board is a shade of purple now.
Really? That's fascinating. I have no memory of that. Oh, well.
It was fantastic.
Why did you have a bottle next to me? Why would you do that?
It wasn't next to you.
That's irresponsible. You
reached across the board and grabbed it.
You keep things out of my reach when I'm Kamikaze Rob. That's just not right. And it's your fault.
It was hysterical. We did not open, in our defense, we did not open the Chateau Monvalla, which would have been the fifth bottle, maybe?
That's ridiculous. I know.
Well,
and Steve wasn't drinking that much. Superstar was there by the way.
Oh, he
was, but he wasn't, you know. I mean, I went off to Betty Bye. And, you know, your guest bedroom was very comfortable.
Yeah.
It was very nice. By noon the next day, I was strong as a bull. I was all right, but, you know, tired. Very tired. And last night, Shakespeare and Phil helped me put my motor back together, which was very nice. But went over to my sister's, had dinner. Took a bottle of Klein Ancient Vine, drank that, and then Phil goes down to his basement. He's always worried he's going to bring mead back, but he didn't do that. He brought up, and I bought it for him for his birthday, a bottle of Pindar Estates Cabernet Port from Long Island, New York.
I remember you discussing that.
And we drank the shit out of that. 19%, medium-ish bodied, slightly lighter bodied, but a little bit of a sweetness from the port. It tasted like a vintage port, but it was spicy. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun wine. I don't know if it was a full 19 because I didn't feel like I wanted to die after drinking the Angel Klein and that. So, still did, but still, I felt okay. But
that's only because you felt so bad from the night before. So everything's
I was
relative.
Not as strong on Saturday as I wished I would have been. Let's just say that.
Oh, my Lord. Dude, you are rough.
Yeah.
You had the voice of
Marge.
Next week.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's fatty liver.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it.
Oh, no. I was
like, you need to wait before you leave as I'm brewing coffee. You want some coffee. I know you need coffee. Pause. Yeah, that might be a good idea.
It hit the spot. I got home. I felt all right, but I relaxed, lay on the bed for a little bit, watched a movie, and drank. No, I didn't actually drink any coffee then, or did I? I don't know. And had a little bit of a lunch kind of thing, a little salami, a little cheese. You know, just relaxed, got myself together, went down and helped mow my parents.
I got news for you, son. You did not get yourself together. You're still not quite there.
I'll listen to you. You look like a hobo.
Well, I worked.
So did I. No, I mowed my yard today.
You went and laid down and had some salami.
Yeah, that would have been rough because you didn't take it easy on yourself either.
I was fine, though.
I drank it all before you get it, probably.
I didn't miss my glass when I went to pour more wine.
Well, seeing that I don't have any memory of that happening, it didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
That's the way that works.
We'll see if the superstar remembers cleaning up the wine off the marble board, including dipping napkins down into the marble holes.
Don't remember that. Don't have any memory of it.
I bet you don't.
I don't. I really don't. Sometimes
back to the pirque.
Sometimes you could say, hey, Rob, here's a glass of wine, and it's really water, and I'd be all right. I would not argue with you. Be like, yeah, water's good. I like water.
Your eyesight's still good, son.
Nah, I didn't know what it was. You get to a certain point, folks, in alcohol consumption, I think everybody knows this, where there isn't the ability to say, that's dumb, that's smart, this is the way your feet work, that kind of stuff. You get to, there is, everybody has that little line that you cross where it gets a bit of a trouble. Now, I rarely have that experience, but occasionally that happens, and normally it's because of Scott, bastard.
Oh, it's my fault.
I think so.
You were a happy man when I brought up that bottle of French wine.
Wow. That didn't mean that you shouldn't have known better. I'm just saying.
I knew exactly what I was doing.
You're a bastard.
Oh, de Leon.
You're a bad man. But this wine, I enjoy it. I really do. I enjoy it at the price, especially. I think it's elegant. It has a classiness to it. I would love this at the refectory. I would love this with a good, complicated dinner.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, I would say, if we're going to play the pricing game, I would think this is $20-$30.
I was going to say 30.
Yeah, it tastes like Cru Bourgeois or one of those. Maybe not something that's going to 92 or 93, but a good quality wine.
Tobacco isn't my favorite flavor characteristic of the earthy slash minerality expression that
it's my favorite.
I prefer red meat, but
it's Triple B's favorite too. She loves tobacco.
This is stunningly raw, expressive tobacco.
It's lovely. It's just a lovely wine from start to finish.
I understand the designation of this. Whether it was a mistake or not, it deserves that designation. Now, I don't know that this has 5-6 years in it, but it would be interesting to see what this was in 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would never last that long. We'd drink it. But
No shit, right?
Yeah, we this.
It's like, do you know how hard it was for me not to pull a bottle of Hecula out the other night?
Well, I've almost drank through my Hecula, and by the way, you should too, because Hecula doesn't have those kind of long legs.
I don't know, man.
I know
the last bottle I had, it had some life to it.
Well, the last bottle I had was lovely, but it's getting near the end of its long. First of all, it's an inexpensive wine. It's the same price as this, but I wonder if they'll still have any more home buys.
You didn't make it there this weekend.
No.
You had your freedom. Freedom!
Well, with me effing myself over with my Friday night shenanigans, it kind of took a chunk out of Saturday. So, you know. Eh.
You should stay at the house and help me side.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Went home and mowed my parents' yard after a slight siesta. But man, this morning, I woke up at like 4 a.m., don't know why. I could not go back to sleep to save my soul. I finally fell back to sleep like at 6:15. And I slept at like 9:30. But I was like, damn. I don't know what my problem was. Just couldn't sleep.
Alcohol do it to you.
Meh.
Yeah.
Normally it keeps me knocked out, but Benadryl. That's the key. I know.
Benadryl?
Benadryl. Yeah, Benadryl. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at Wine Vault Podcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to have just a little discussion about some different things. I want to talk, let you know, today I got a free bottle of wine at Giant Eagle because it was priced wrong. Yay. Yay me.
Wait, what?
Yeah, free bottle of wine, man.
So they've got a price policy that if they can't get the price right, you get it free?
Yeah, on the first item. Then the other ones, you get it obviously at the price it's supposed to be. I got 2 things free in my order today because of that. Cauliflower and this bottle of wine. Now, the bottle of wine was in the closeout shopping cart. And it's not a great bottle of wine, Scott. It was already $6.49 on clearance. It was Ravenswood, their Vintner's Reserve, or Vintner's Blend, you know, the base one?
Yeah.
The Petit Sirah.
That was bad, wasn't it?
Why did you buy that? I've never had it. Never had it. I've never had it. I don't know if you have. But
I thought you and I did that at my house. I was buying that, and it was good. It was good. Then bottle variation hit.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Okay.
The only thing I've ever had from that line is their Zin.
I think we had that one night out on the deck at Jefferson Farms.
Well,
you mocked me for it.
I don't remember that. I've never mocked that line.
You've never mocked me.
Well, I've mocked you. I mean, good God. Is it Tuesday? Okay, there you go.
Well, yeah.
But, no, I don't think I've ever had it, but if it's bad, it was free, so who cares, you know? I don't think we'll have it on the show, because that's really exciting. Here's a base Petit Sirah. Hey, guys, come on, listen to this one. This is going to get the episode. This is going to rake them in, you know? Although I could always pair it with some other shithole thing that you're going to buy and bring in here.
Enjoy Petit Sirah.
See, I'm not a huge Petit Sirah guy, but I don't know. I mean, the thing is, though, it sometimes in these blends that we've had, they use really sloppy Lodi crap or Delta crap. And that's bad Petit Sirah. Obviously, Petit Sirah can be very good, but it's never even exciting. Even good Petit Sirah, it isn't as exciting to me as some other things. I don't know. Maybe
I had a guest at the house, and I'm showing off, pretending I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I pull out a bottle of Turtle.
Turtle.
Petit Sirah. Okay. And it was from my first allocation ever. So it sat for a couple of years.
That's not long enough.
I know. But it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've been looking at Petit Sirah differently.
Well, I mean,
for one thing, I'm getting it every time Turley offers it.
You like Stag's Leap Cellars there. By the way, tomorrow is the Turley, it's Turley week. You like Stag's Leap Cellars Petit Sirah a hell of a lot because you buy that every damn time we go out. It's not that great. But
twice.
You know, well, it's twice. No, three times. I think you've bought it three times.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to get this. It's going to be great. Yeah, the best stuff in the world. Oh, look at that.
You know, it's just,
that's so great.
And Steve's drinking Hess Select from the jug. I know.
You know who, I haven't had it yet, but Frank from Scally loves Scott Zanon's Petit Sirah.
I haven't had it yet either. I do enjoy their Dry Creek Zin.
It's fantastic.
It's very good. Becky loves it.
You know, he's started, this is the first year he's doing a Dry Creek Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh.
It'll be interesting to see if he oak ages his or not.
He's going to do malolactic fermentation like some dipshits. Yeah. I don't know when that, if this will air after this or before this, but yeah. Boy.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh.
Oak aging.
No.
Malolactic fermentation.
I'm not an oak aging Sauvignon Blanc guy. Just, I'm not. You know, I mean, this is the thing. Mary Edwards sells one of the more expensive Sauvignon Blancs out there, and it's wonderful. And it's not, I don't think it's oaked, but it's just like, it's a kaleidoscope of enjoyment where some of these other things, it just tastes like a lead lump right in the middle of the damn wine. And it doesn't need to be there. And that's not the purpose of Sauvignon Blanc. If I want something to be oaky, I'll drink fucking Chardonnay.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand why we keep, or why they, actually, I'm not doing it. Why they keep wanting to make wines taste like other wines. I just will buy the other wine. Why would I? I don't want Pinot Noir to taste like Syrah.
And there's a reason that historically, traditionally, Chardonnays are oaked and Sauvignon Blancs aren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
The grapes can handle it. It's different characteristics.
And you're not making a new style. You're just making something that's bad. I just don't get it. Yeah. I don't want Sauvignon Blanc to taste like Chardonnay. If I wanted it to be Chardonnay, I wouldn't be fine fucking Sauvignon Blanc. And vice versa. I don't get it. I really don't. And I don't think we've ever really enjoyed the oaked Sauvignon Blanc at all. And I, even the ones that are competent, really just, it isn't something that, you're right. It sits there like a lump.
It seems like, And when we did that episode, I was trying to recall what Sauvignon Blancs we'd had that had been oaked previously. And I know there was one that we liked, but it was subtle. And you didn't have that bullshit malolactic fermentation. You still had that crispness. You still had that acidic backbone. It was slightly oaked.
But
I can't remember what it was. It seems like it might have been New Zealand.
No, sure. New Zealand is not oak stuff. But this is the thing. When you're not doing malolactic fermentation and you're oaking, you're going to get acidity in oak, and that's going to cause a caustic mess of metallic edge. I mean, we kind of didn't like that either, but that's where that's from. You've got to do malolactic fermentation with oak because of the two things, sharp acidity and oak, those don't jive.
One of these things just doesn't belong
it's
here.
It's just an absolute train wreck when they do that kind of stuff. And I suppose there are people, wineries, that have the ability and the touch to accomplish a quality wine from that. But these inexpensive wines that are doing it, they ain't getting it done. But, you know.
Well, speaking of inexpensive wines that are getting it done, what about this, man?
Well, this is lovely. This is lovely, the Aris de Pirque. Yes, the Aris de Pirque. It is a lovely Bordeaux style, mind you, blend. But how many good things have we had from Chile? It's just been like
we're on a roll lately.
It's been a cavalcade.
We're on a roll lately. We did not start off this program enjoying Chilean wines.
Los Vascos.
And it wasn't like we were picking out bullshit. We were picking out stuff that had some marquee per se.
Yeah.
This is good.
Very good.
I mean, and yes, it's kind of sort of in our wheelhouse. What I'm not sure about with this is this something that everybody's going to enjoy. Forget the Bordeaux style blend just because of the prominence of the tobacco in it.
I don't know. I mean, once again, if you're going to be drinking something like this, presumably you're going to be into a little, this is a more serious wine for more serious wine drinkers.
This is a serious wine. This is not, and we're not being snobbish here. It's just, this is.
Well, we have a wine podcast that inherently is snobbish from here. You know.
Have you heard us? have you heard us?
I know, but yeah.
We're freaking assholes, son.
Well, yeah, but still. It's like, yeah, you do a wine podcast. What the fuck? Talking about grapes for an hour? Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Well, that's not really what we do. We make dick jokes, too. Not that many dick jokes, though. Well, some. I haven't made a dick joke in a while.
I was making them all week long at your expense.
It's just envy. Because you've got a small dick.
They tiny. Weren't that kind of dick joke.
I believe, well, I don't want you to talk about my dick. You just leave my dick out of your conversation.
Actually, we were talking about somebody else.
Whose dick were you talking about?
Oh, I'm not.
Why were you talking about anybody's dick?
I'm not going to say it on air.
Scott, why were you talking about anybody's dick? Why were you talking about somebody's dick?
Actually, we were talking about somebody's testes.
Why were you talking about somebody's testicles?
The question is, what were you doing to those testicles?
I don't know. What? I wasn't doing anything to anybody's testicles.
Allegedly.
Or.
In your opinion.
Or true or false. Whose testicles were you talking about? You just give me the high sign. I don't know. Who? Oh, that's ridiculous, you dumbass. You're disgusting. I mean, that is just a crass, that's horse shit right there. That's what that is.
Well.
That's disgusting. Gross bastard.
Don't ever again tell me that you can't ever golf on a Wednesday.
I can golf on a Wednesday. I can. I just don't want to golf with Mr. 69 on 9 holes.
Oh,
it's embarrassing.
God.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
I'm good. At 3 pars.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All summer. Good job.
No, Wednesday night. That's good for me, folks.
And then eight quadruple bogeys.
No quads. I did have a couple triples.
See, folks, let me give you a background on this. Hank would tell you this, but he's in China. That's right. The Australian Russian is now in China. But
allegedly.
No. So, Scott is a gentleman that he seems to hit the ball like a human being. A normal person hits a ball, it goes. But what he'll do is, he has this affinity for believing that he is a superhero and can make shots that he cannot make. There's a line from the movie Magnum Force where he goes, "A man's got to know his limitations." But Scott's not aware of those. So
No. He
is in the belief, and I don't know if there's any golfers
out
there,
comes to golf.
That he, say it's a 250-yard to go to the hole, and he has like a pond and trees, and there's out of bounds everywhere. And it's about like he has to hit something through, he has to thread a needle to get it exactly where it goes, and there's no other chance but. The chance of success is like 1%. And that's for a person that's great. And Scott can't even hit the damn ball 250 yards to begin with off the grass. So there's that.
Not true.
Well, Scott will hit that shot regardless, and it'll sail out of bounds. But what Scott won't do is...
You should have hit a tree.
And then it'll go out of bounds. Scott will hit it from there again, but he won't say, okay, I admit that what I was trying to do before was dumb. Now I'm just going to hit it shorter, and then I'll get there. No. Scott will hit the same fucking shot again, and once again, it will go out of bounds. And then maybe another time it'll go in the pond, and he'll get a 13 on a hole just because.
I've never hit a 13 on a
hole. You had 13s on the hole. Well, how do you think you shot that 69 when we were playing? Scott shot 69 on 9 holes, folks.
It wasn't 69. It was 59.
69. I remember it.
I never shot 69.
You did, and I was in the cart with you. It was one of those days where we were playing one hole, and his shot was so off, it was like a 5-minute long golf cart ride, to get to his ball.
I hit that ball straight sideways.
Yes. And I said to him, Scott, this is embarrassing. And it was like a drive. And we had to go across like bridges and all sorts of crazy shit.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. And
despite what Scott says, this is not a rare occurrence. This happens frequently.
No, I'm better now.
You still have the same brain in your head. It's still you. Well, it's you. It's not your game. It's you.
I'm taking neurotropics.
Yeah, neurotropics. You need a brain transplant. You need a lobotomy.
Well, Jesus.
And Hank.
Electroshock therapy.
Hank, I think Hank partially left the country because of that.
He was afraid.
He's so mad. He's afraid. Like, but I don't understand you. You're just there, and all of a sudden you're hitting these good shots. They look beautiful. Then you say, I just hit it in the parking lot. And you hit it in the parking lot like four times. Like, Scott, you can't hit that far. No, Scott, you can't make that. He just does it anyway. He knocks it out of bounds four times and standing there, and he's confused as to why it went out of bounds. Because you can't hit it, my man. Scott was teammates with Hank in this golf league. So.
For forever.
Terrible. Terrible.
It was not a 69, it was a 59.
It was a 69.
I've never been in the 60s in the golf league. In the history of my playing the golf league.
69.
No.
It was. I remember. It was embarrassing.
You always remember.
I know. It's because, how could you forget?
Well, you know.
It's a 69. It's like, good God. It was like 13s and 11s and. Hey, folks, let me point something out. As you notice, Scott is not arguing that much with me because he knows that I'm right.
I've never had a 13.
Okay, 12. You've had like a 50-12s. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So.
You're just so happy to have us back at this point. This has just been a thrilling episode. This is a thrilling wine, though.
It is a thrilling wine. And it is the Ares de Pirque, Reserva de Propiedad. From
Arras
Chile.
De Pirque.
Yes, Arras de Pirque.
Vina Arras de Pirque.
I don't think their enjoyment of the episode really hinges on you overpronouncing things. I'm just saying.
Do you want me to go into El Scout mood?
No, nobody does that.
Damn.
It's just too sexy. If the superstar was on.
Too sexy for my shirt.
That would
too
be different.
Too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy.
So we're going to start off with the unlicensed taxi driver. We need a review for this wine.
This is fantastic. Bordeaux style, a little heavier than an actual Bordeaux, but, you know, it's Chilean, cab. The blend is wonderful. The fruit has kind of evened out as this wine has opened up.
Yeah.
It's now a balance between the sweeter fruits and the more savory fruits.
Yeah.
The tobacco is still prominent. It's not as in your face as it was, you know, half hour ago. We decanted this. This has probably been decanting this 2 hours now. The only thing you could want more of in this wine is a little more tannic structure. The tannins are fine. The tannins that are there are wonderful. Ageability, yeah, I would want to see what this is in 3 years, but I'm going 91. I really enjoy this. I was between a 90 and a 91. Probably if I'd frame this, I would say 89 to 91. I'm going to go on the high end, 91. I don't recall a wine that we've had on the show that had more expressive tobacco notes than this. And it's just naked. The tobacco is naked in this. And folks, when we talk about tobacco, we're not talking about cigarette ash. You know, when somebody...
Well, I am. I am.
Yeah, you love cigarette ash. No, I don't. He goes to bars and purposely drinks beers that somebody put their cigarette out in.
Hey, man, to each their own. Don't judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just telling people what you do.
In your opinion, sure.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But do I recommend this at all? It's like you said. This is a thinker wine. This is not an easy wine. But it's a really good wine, folks. Check mm-hmm. it out.
Oh yeah,
$10.99. This is even if Wine Guy doesn't put it in the Hall of Fame, this is definitely in the Budget Hall of Fame.
Well, just Scott, never fear. It is in the Hall of Fame because I'm providing it 90 of my points. I love this wine. It's a little bit different than what we've been accustomed to because we have a lot of Chilean wines we like, but like the Santa Emma, I think back at that. This is different than the Santa Emma, completely different.
Nothing, it's not even comparable.
No.
This is both just, from Chile, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I like both of them in different ways, but I gave this a 90, but...
See, don't do that. You scored it a 90. It's okay to say, I like this better than Santa Emma, and I'm giving this a 90, and I gave Santa Emma a 90.
I gave Santa Emma a 91.
That's okay. You can still say, I like this better than Santa Emma.
Yeah, but this is a 91.
You're corrupt.
It is a 91.
Corrupt.
And I agree, it's an 89 to 91, but it's a 91.
You're corrupt.
Yeah.
You have no integrity, man.
Hey, no. I do. I recognize the fact that I underscored. That's integrity.
Okay.
It is integrity. Poor Triple B. I'm not going to tell her this is any good because she's going to be so damn mad at us.
Well, she likes tobacco, but mostly has she ever had anything as tobacco-y as this?
Probably.
Give me one off the top of your head that had a larger expression of tobacco than this one does. Yeah?
No, Infinito. Yeah.
No. Negatory. That was Cigar Box, son.
That's a variant of tobacco, and you know.
That was not as tobacco as this. And that expression, a Cigar Box, wasn't as big as this. I disagree wholeheartedly. Well,
that's why you're incorrect.
Hey, who bought the Infinito?
You did.
I did.
That was a long time ago, though.
It was a long time
ago. There's been a lot of double downs.
That wasn't $10.99 either, son.
No. There's been a lot of double downs and with that Luscious since then. I mean,
dude,
yeah.
Some of that shit I buy on purpose. Come on, you do too.
No.
Yes.
I bought this.
Okay.
It's because I'm classy. That's why. So, 291s, Hall of Fame, tip of the cap.
Would you say that again? You're what?
Classy.
You're glassy-eyed?
Classy.
You are glassy-eyed. Oh, yeah. That word. You don't know what that means, do you?
I know that it's not you.
Oh, Jesus.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.